They came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out, "Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me." Many people told him to keep quiet, but he was crying out all the more, "Have mercy on me, Son of David." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man and said to him, "Have courage, get up, he's calling for you." He threw off his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Then Jesus answered him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Rabboni," the blind man told him, "I want to see." "Go your way," Jesus told him, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he could see and began to follow him on the road.
Thank you. Heaven, is that right? That's a beautiful name for little girls, little boys. I don't know what we're going to call y'all, but anyway, Heaven, that's wonderful. Thank you. You did a great job. We appreciate that. Bible should be open this morning to Mark chapter 10. Good to be with you. My first time, not to be in Piedmont, my first time being First Baptist, and good to be with you, and thank you for the wonderful worship time, and to the graduates, we are grateful for you, and we're grateful that tomorrow is Memorial Day. And let us do remember those that gave the ultimate sacrifice, paid the price, so that you and I can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth and in freedom. Title of the message is simply this: what do you want? Now, you came to church today, which you do on Sunday, but what do you want? Why did you come? A lot of reasons. Why don't you think about that? What do you want? What do you really want the Lord to do for you today when He speaks to your heart? What did you come? What's your burden? What's your need? What's your care? You see, I still believe Jesus answers prayer. In fact, what I believe you're going to see in the passage today is you're going to see really the nuts and bolts of what prayer is. You have the one to pray, you have the one that answers prayer, and you have what's involved in prayer. And when you look at that, you think, boy, here's a passage. Blind Bartimaeus, Jesus and the disciples, you already know, were passing through Jericho. On their way, Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming. Now, obviously, somewhere, he got the word that Jesus could help him. He heard about somebody healing. And so he was able to say, you know what, maybe this is the answer to my prayer. And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, you know what happened? Crowd typical like us. Shh. Don't make a spectacle. Don't embarrass us. Be quiet. Don't bother him. But Jesus heard him, and he asked his disciple, he said, "Now go get him and tell him to come over here." Well, it said Bartimaeus didn't just go gradually. He jumped up, threw his cloak off, and he took off to see Jesus. But it's interesting that Jesus asked him a question. What do you want me to do for you? Now, first reading of that, you think, well, that's kind of a silly question. That's kind of an unusual statement. Because obviously he was blind, and obviously you would think Jesus would know what he wanted him to do for him when he asked him that. And you know, we're like that a lot of times. In fact, I've got a good friend. He's in heaven. He's with the Lord now. But anyway, he used to have a kind of a hobby that he collected silly statements, unusual sayings. That's kind of a weird hobby, but he did it. And he, you know, one of those that came, and of course, he was a big sports fan like all of us. And if you look at any kind of football, you know, sportscasters are really interesting people to follow, especially when you go back to the old Monday Night Football. In fact, he recorded a couple of them. Danny White was the new quarterback, Dallas Cowboys. You remember him? And one of the second or third play of the ball game, first one he ever started, was he fumbled the ball, lost it. Commentator said this. He said, "I didn't want that to happen." Well, that's pretty obvious. I mean, obvious, right? You know? Merlin Olsen was an announcer. I remember this one. Merlin Olsen was an announcer, and the team was playing. They were way behind. And it was getting toward the end of the game, and old Merlin Olsen made a great comment, astute observation. He said, "You know, they need to score some points, and some points quick." Now, I was glad he said that. That certainly helped me understand it a little bit better. That's there, you know, and it happens. And ladies, I'm sure you've had this happen to you at some time, and we've probably done it. Here's a lady who's probably 9 months pregnant, just about to give birth. She makes it to church, gets there. Somebody comes up to her and asks her what? You haven't had that baby yet? Well, that's obvious, right? That would be obvious. Now, if you see somebody with a cast on their arm, what do we normally say? Did you hurt your arm? No. Just thought I'd wear a cast to decorate. Looked good with my suit. Do that. Then I guess the one that kind of takes it home, so to speak, when you really think about these silly sayings that are there. It come up so many, many times. Somebody goes to a funeral, comes home, and the wife says to him, where have you been? So I've been to Ted's funeral. Well, is Ted dead? Yes, he is. We didn't just have it for the sake. We laugh at those, but we think of that. Now, if you read this statement casually, that's what you think Jesus said. But now listen, we know this. Jesus didn't ask foolish questions. He didn't ask silly questions. He asked questions to get information. He knew. He didn't ask the question to make a joke or to embarrass the guy that was there. But he did it for a reason. And as you study Scripture, especially the Gospels, you find that when Jesus asked a question, he did it for a specific reason. He wanted you to know something about the situation. So let's pray. We're going to jump into the passage. Father, I thank you today for all the time of worship we've had, Lord, as we've been able to sing and exercise our voices and the precious children and sermon. All that's so much a part of it, Lord. I bless you today that we're here. But Father, we've not come to hear another sermon, a message. We've heard plenty. But Lord, we need to hear from you today. Would you speak? Now I realize I'm that mouthpiece, and I know, Father, that we can always crank out a message. That's what we're trained to do. But Lord, that's not important here tonight. Today is a word from you. We're asking you to speak. And Father, I pray as you speak, we'll have ears to hear. And importantly, Lord, we'll obey what you call us to do. Because Lord, I don't know what people want. I don't know why they're here today. I know what we say, but Lord, what if they come? What's in the deep secret recesses of every heart? That is not a secret to you, and you know it quite, quite well. So I pray today, Lord, open us up, that we would hear you and you'd reveal yourself as we pray it together in Jesus' name. Amen. You also remember over in John chapter 5, Jesus came, the cripple that was by the pool of Siloam that was there. And, you know, here was a cripple. He asked him, he said, do you want to be healed? Now, it'd be pretty obvious, right? That seems like a silly statement because here's a guy who's been crippled all his life. And he was there. Of course, the guy went on to tell the story. He said, you know, when I'm here and I can't get to the water in time. And there was a kind of a story that went around that time. If the water was stirred, an angel stirred it, and anybody that got into the pool could be healed. Well, he didn't make it. He said, no one would carry me. But Jesus asked him that question, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be whole? Now, Bartimaeus, and let's put ourselves there just a minute. Here's Bartimaeus, probably blind most of his life, couldn't see. He heard with his ears. He heard that Jesus was coming. Obviously, he knew that Jesus was something special. He'd heard about the healing and the reputation that preceded him. And Bartimaeus cried out. He said, help me. Like a lot of us do when we cry out to him. He cried out. The Lord heard him, and the Lord said, I want you to come to me, and I want you to begin to ask me, what's the question? What is it you want me to do for you? And obviously, you know, I'm sure Bartimaeus knew something. He could ask it. And, you know, a lot of times we say, well, you know, we're in a new day. This is a modern time. Jesus was back then. He's not with us right now, and he doesn't really do what he used to do. Well, that's wrong. Jesus is here. He does do what he used to do. He still does it. Now, I'm not one to say, I believe, you know, you just grab it and blab it, you know, that kind of thing. I'm not talking about that. I believe that the Lord does what he does to reveal himself to you and to me in a special way. Our problem is so often we don't really seek him for the answer. We kind of just accept what we're there and say, well, this is what it is, and this is what's life, and this is what it's all about. Well, I believe the foundation of prayer is right here. Prayer is God's idea. It is. Prayer is a man-to-God encounter that we have. It's not just exercising, going through the will that was there. It's a prayer. It's a time we seek his face. In fact, if you got a Bible, like to go, flip over to Romans chapter 15, toward the end of the book. We'll read one scripture to you and talk about it just a minute. Because I believe here is a real good passage that indicates the privilege of prayer that we have. And I believe it tells us some of the things that we need to do. Now, Paul, finishing up his letter to the church at Rome, said this. He said, now, Jesus, I appeal to you, brothers, by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together. Hold that word, strive. With me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Now, the word strive, I want to circle that. That word means to wrestle. It's like a hand-to-hand combat that's there. That's what he's talking about. It's a hand-to-hand wrestling match, if you will. And really, when you think about it, that's what prayer is. Prayer is our wrestling with God. Now, you know, that kind of bothers us a little bit. We think, wait a minute. Do you mean to tell me I've got to wrestle with God? Well, yeah. You remember the story of Jacob and Esau? Remember that? And remember what happened there? The old Jabbok that was there, and he was there that night, and he wrestled all night with the Lord, I believe, with the angel, he said, with the Lord that was there. He wrestled with him. And he wrestled all night, and God marked him. You see, what happened was this. And honestly, when I think about that, some of the greatest battles I have in prayer is not resisting temptation. It's not my struggles with Satan. That's very real. Often, my wrestling match is my wrestling with God. Now, listen to me. I'm not saying God is reluctant to answer our prayers. What I'm saying is simply this. It is my reluctance to do what God wants me to do in order that I may be more like Him and He may do in me what He desires to do. You know, prayer's a battle. It is, folks. It's not an easy thing. It's a warfare. We struggle with it because prayer is intimate. It's kind of honest. We just have to get down to it. We can sort of fake God out, we think, because what we pray sometimes is what we want to hear. And what God knows is what we need to hear or we need to pray. And sometimes we don't do that like we ought to. And I'm not minimizing Satan is there, but my real struggle is not so much his reluctance. It is my reluctance to be what God wants me to be. You see, God is trying to do something in my life. And that's what he wants me to do. And in that time of prayer, he's breaking through and I'm trying to get there. And here I am. I want to say something. I want to be nice because I want to kind of skirt all those issues I need to, and I want to ignore those things God's dealing with me about in order that I may get my way, I may feel good about my time, but not hear what God has to say. So, back to Mark chapter 10. What do you want? Well, I tell you what I want to do. I just want to ask you, and I want to answer kind of three questions that are here. And I believe we're talking about this matter today. What do you want? Number one, what do you want Jesus to do for you? Now, here's my question. Why in the world did Jesus ask Bartimaeus the question? Obviously, he knew Bartimaeus was blind. Obviously, Jesus didn't need information. He didn't need to know how to pray. Bartimaeus knew what he needed. He was blind. He said, Lord, I want my sight. I'd just like to see again. You know, it's okay. It's not that way. Well, the amazing thing was this. You see, the angel knew what Jacob needed before Jacob actually asked it. He wrestled with him there through the night because he wanted to mark Jacob. Jacob left with a limp. God wanted to mark him because God had a plan and a way he was going to use him in such a mighty, mighty way. You know, when you think about prayer, have you ever thought about it? And we've all had kids and we remember our own childhood. You know what it is about Christmas time when you'd say to the child, well, what do you want for Christmas? Now, you'd have to have a semi-trailer to haul it off in. Because they get there, they look at television, and your television just bombards them over and over and over again with all that stuff. What do you really want? Well, the question is, I know what you want, but how bad do you really want it? Heard a friend of mine make a statement one time. You see, he was reading his paper, and his son was standing. And you know how you've done this. You're reading or you're something. All of a sudden, you know there's a presence. There he was. Put the paper down and said, son, what can I do for you? And he said, I want thus and such. And he said something. He said, well, okay, but no, you can't have that. Picked his paper up, started reading. Guess what? Boy was still there. He put the paper down. He said, well, son, why are you still standing here? He said, I'm waiting for you to change your mind. Now, that's a lot of time. You think about what Jesus, you think about the times of prayer. Really, there's only two parables there that the Lord talks about when it's persistence in prayer. And I'm not talking about repetition. I'm talking about persistence in asking Him for what you want to do. And the children say, no, they're still waiting. You see, how bad do I know a child wants it? When you say, no, you can't have it, they walk away. No big deal. But if they keep on and keep on, guess what? It's important. Now, I'm not saying you got to give them everything they want, but you understand that's what it means. That means it's important. How bad do I want it? If I ask it, don't get it, give up? No. But I keep asking. I keep asking until God tells me something else, because really sometimes what I need to know is what God's going to do in my life. And I guess that's the question. What do you want Jesus to really do for you? I remember a story. Man got out of prison in New Orleans. Been there about 42 years. Got out of prison. He prayed. I probably marked the day. I think he had a calendar. He marked the dates off. He finally got out. Got out. Stayed out 4 days. Out of prison 4 days. And they found him. He was back at the prison wanting to get back in. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I want to get back in prison." Why? Because he couldn't handle real life outside there. Did he want to get out? Well, he thought he did. But he got out and he had to face real life. And when he had to face real life, he said, "Whoa, this is not me. I don't want this." And he said, "Let me go back to prison." You know why I want to go to prison? Because, you see, in prison, all I have to do is do what? Just get up. You know, my day's made out for me, food planned, clothes, all that kind of stuff that's there. I don't have to think of anything else. Here was that man, lame, 38 years, John 5, you know, and he came and Jesus stepped right there and he said, "What do you want? Why do you want?" And you know, when you ask that question, "Do you want to be healed?" Why do you think he asked that question? Well, I don't know for sure. But you know, not everybody that Jesus probably healed or wanted to be healed. Sometimes people don't want to be healed. You say, "How can it be?" Well, tell you the truth, folks. A lot of times we're happy just to be spiritually lame. Just satisfied where we are. Don't rock the boat. Don't mess things up. I'm okay. I just as soon be a spiritual invalid the rest of my life. I'm all right. Don't have to require much of me. I just show up, do my thing, leave, go home. Everything's okay. A lot of us are like that. So, what do you really want Jesus to do for you? Now, that's the question we've all got to answer. What do you really want Jesus to do for you? Now, I don't know you at all. But behind those faces today, there's some needs, whether you know it or not. Now, we come to church and we put on our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. That's what Grandma used to call them. Put on your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. Put on your Sunday go-to-meeting face. We smile real pretty. We look real good. Everything's okay. We do our thing. We go home. That's it. But the truth is, what do we really want Jesus to do for us? You want to go through the motions? You want to just do another habit? Just have another religious activity? We've got plenty of those. And there's all kind of that stuff, but do we really want him to do something for us personally in our own lives? That's what he's trying to get to us. So, what do you really want Jesus to do for you? You've got to answer that question. Number two, how badly do you want it? I remember Ron Dunn, Ron and Kay. Ron's in heaven, great evangelist, pastor at MacArthur Boulevard in Fort Worth, Texas, a number of years. But anyway, he and Kay, his wife Kay, had gone to a concert. They were coming home. Beautiful concert, great pianist, just, I mean, wonderful. Kay looked and said, "I would give anything if I could play like he played." And his whole run in his own way said, "No, you wouldn't." "Yes, I would." "No, you wouldn't. You mean to tell me you would give? You'd give up endless time, hours of sacrifice. You'd play and play and play. Your fingers would hurt. You'd keep on practicing and practicing. You'd make the sacrifices. You'd do all this. Would you do that?" You see, I would like to be like that. Man, I'd love to be a phenomenal athlete. Well, he's going to pay the price. I'd love to be a scholar. I'd love to be a brilliant individual. I'd love to invent things. Well, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to just make the sacrifices necessary to get there to do those kind of things? And I think that's so much of what's happening here. I believe, and I don't want to get too far on a limb here, but if you go back and look at Adam and Eve, the original Garden of Eden, the sin, I believe as much as anything, Adam and Eve's sin, especially Eve ate the apple, I believe, or the fruit, I believe it was laziness and I believe it was slothfulness. Now, I'm not trying to be heretical, don't misunderstand me. But you know why I said that? Because I believe the devil appeals. He appeals, and by the way, somebody said, "Well, boy, the women have caused all that trouble. Ladies, let me let you off the hook." God didn't come and say, "Eve, where are you?" He said, "Adam, where are you?" Right? So you're okay. Don't let him get you. You can nail him with your elbow right now. That'll be a good one. All right. So when you think about it, he appealed what? Well, you see, if you eat that fruit, guess what? You can take a shortcut. You don't have to study. You don't have to worry about discipline. You don't have to read And I mean, you know, you don't have to learn good and evil. You'll be there right quick. Push, pull, click, click. I want to be like God real quick. That's what we think. And that's exactly what happened. And so I believe they did that. And that's what it was. You see, discipleship is a difficult, different task. We've got to learn. We've got to do some things. I'm not spoon feeding, because you're there and you've got to go. It is different because Jesus said, hey, are you willing to leave your father and your mother and follow me? Are you willing to dislike somebody? Are you willing to hate them more than me? Love me more than them? Are you put your hand to the plow? Don't look back. Now, what he was saying is not that you got to hate your parents. That's not what he was saying. What Jesus was saying, everything you have, it needs to pale in comparison to your love for me, your discipline for me. That discipleship is real. That discipline that's there. And did not say, I want to make you a good one. He just said, do you want to be a disciple? You got a physical problem. You go to the doctor, right? The doctor says, okay, I've examined you. Comes in, he says this. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. Number one, I want you to eat three good, healthy meals a day. Good, healthy meals a day. Wasn't talking to Southern folks. By the way, fried chicken is healthy, so let me help you out. Anyway, he just said, you know, eat three good meals. I want you to sleep 8 hours a day. I want you to get a minimum 4 days a week. I want you to get 30 minutes of exercise. And I want you to do this, that, and the other. And you say, wait a minute, doc. Isn't there a pill I can take? Isn't there something I can do this? I mean, can I do this quickly? No. You got a discipline. And you know, I love these ads. You know, lose 30 pounds in 15 days and gain 40 pounds in 5 right after you get off the diet. Come on. Come on. If we're going to do it, what do we got to do? We've got to say, look, I've got to exercise and I've got to eat properly. That's what I've been doing. I've lost some weight and you know, I feel much better doing it. Was it easy? No. Man, I'm telling you, I miss my ice cream. It's killing me. But you know, the reality is, I don't know how much longer I'm going to live. God's got that in His plan, but I do at least want to have quality of years that are here and be able to do a few things that'll be there. So, you know, that's the problem. How bad do you really want it? Bartimaeus, how bad do you really want me to do this? Do you want it bad enough, Bartimaeus? Do you want it bad enough, my friend, that you and I are willing to lay aside whatever that personal hurdle is, that obstacle that is there? What is it in my life? What is it that has dammed up those rivers of living water? What is it that has plugged up where the juices used to flow? Well, what do you want Jesus to do for you? How badly do you want it? Now, here's the ultimate question. If you get it, if He gives it to you, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it when you get it? If you get it. Well, verse 52, Bartimaeus did what? You know, Jesus said, by the way, He just said, go your way, your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Him on the way. Followed Him on the way. He obeyed Him. He did it. He did what He called him to do. And you know, he used to glorify and to honor God. And He used it in His life. He did that for Him. I don't know what it is for you, but you see, a lot depends on what we are going to do with what God is willing and able to do. Listen. Listen to this. I believe with all of my heart, God is more than willing and able to answer your prayer, your problems, take all of that. But the question of it is, do we want Him to answer it our way, or is He going to answer it His way? You say, well, you know, if the Lord would just give me more money, that's what I want. Lord, give me more money. I'd use it for your glory. No. He said, I'd give you more money, but the problem is you're not using what I have given you now. What about time? I just need more time, Lord. I said, I'll give you more time, but you're not using your time wisely. You're not using the time that I gave you anyway. You see, I believe God will answer my prayer. I believe God will meet any need and solve any problem in my life that will make me a better follower, a better disciple of Jesus Christ. Did you hear me? I'll make me better, not get along better. No, that would make me better. And you see, what do you really want? Did you ever think about it? What do you really want? You say, well, how bad do you want it? Now listen to me. I believe in my heart Jesus is here. He said, where two or three are gathered my name, there he's in the midst of it. He came. He came here. Not how high you jump, how loud you shout amen. No, I believe he's here. I believe he's here. Now he came here today to do one thing, to meet with you. Not just hear a preacher preach, but to meet with you. So whatever your need is today, you know it. Nobody else does. You know it. Do you really believe Jesus can do it? Yes, I believe he can. You see, it could be today that, hey, some of us need salvation. Think about it. I need to make Jesus Lord of my life. I need to give my life and heart to him. I need to follow Christ. I need to make that decision. I need to settle that issue. I need whatever. You know what's there. And to trust him. Because, folks, he desires to meet with you. And he'll answer that prayer if you and I are willing to follow it his way. And knowing that what he's going to do, he'll do for his glory, for your good. You say, oh, my goodness, I've had some painful times. Listen, what does Romans 8:28 say? All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go home. Nope. Let's read verse 29. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to conform us to the image of his Son. What he's doing and allowing in my life, good or bad, is for his glory and for our good. What do you want? How badly do you want it? If you get it, what will you do with it when you get it? Father, I thank you, Lord, that these are questions that, quite frankly, Lord, no one can answer but that individual in every heart. There are no secrets. There's nothing that's hidden from you today, Lord. And I pray, Father, that there'll be a time now of honest searching in the invitation. This invitation is not something we tack on to the end of the service. This is something, Father, we're simply asking you to do in us something new and something fresh. My friends, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Do you know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior? You have the hope of heaven when you die, do you? Settle it. If you don't, listen, where you are, that pew you're sitting in or standing in front is as much an altar as this altar is down here. Doesn't matter. You can ask him to forgive your sin. You can trust him with your life. You can ask him to come in and take your life. He will do it, my friend. That's his desire today. He wants to meet with you. But I'm not sure, too. You may have an issue, something else in your own life. Could be personal sin. Could be secret sin. Could be a real problem. I can't tell you how he's going to answer it. I can't tell you when he's going to answer it, but I'll tell you he's willing to answer it. But not on my condition, not on your condition, but according to his will and his glory. Father, I thank you that you'll do your work. And we pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand together. Hymns open to hymn 528. My faith has found a resting place. I hope that's true. So you'll lead with us. I'll be down front to pray with you.